on the Lord's team. The winning side, so raise your glass.
Welcome to the Catholic Man Show. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side. So raise your glass. Adam Minahan here, sitting with David Niles. Jim is not here. He missed out. He's going to miss out today because we're going to have a delicious beer. We have Chainsaw Brewing that sent us some awesome beers. I love that the Catholic world is getting into breweries and distilleries and things like that, and really kind of taking over like the things that make culture.
Cultural things, yeah.
Yeah. Chainsaw Brewing, they sent us some IPAs, the St. Michael, the Archangel, St. Gabriel, the Archangel, St. Raphael, the Archangel, all IPAs, three different, like they're all different hops.
Yeah, they're hopped differently. I was trying to figure out.
I think they're
which...
all about 6.1%, if I remember correctly. 6.1. Yep. But Chainsaw Brewing, you go check them out on Instagram. You can find them and keep up with them. You know, I just am a big supporter. I just want to support Catholic breweries. You know,
totally.
And like, you know, we recently had cider. You know that was here. Borromeo.
Borromeo, yeah.
Ciders, like,
I had one of their ginger ales today. The ginger is fantastic. It's the one I thought I would like the least. Oh, man, the ginger is like prime.
So
today we're going to be trying these, the Archangel series. Mm-hmm. I decided that we will do it in the order in which they appear in the Bible.
So Raphael, Gabriel.
And then Michael.
Well, actually, Michael would be first. Michael cast down Satan.
Not in the Bible. That is an extra biblical story. I actually have no idea where it comes from. Right? Isn't that? I mean, it's not in when you go and read Genesis. The serpent is just there. It doesn't talk about the fall of the angels. Now in Revelation, it does talk about like a third of them being wiped. I mean, it's like Genesis starts this way: in the beginning.
Right. Right.
And then, like, God made heaven, you know, it's like blah, 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 blah. And then Adam is in the garden, and then the serpent is there,
mm-hmm.
you know. So, it like, maybe St. Michael's in there before Revelation, but I'm pretty sure.
This is what we're doing.
Look, the order we're doing is Raphael, Gabriel, then Michael.
Because that's what we decided. We're on the Lord's
team. Because it might be biblical, the winning side.
The rich glass. Oh man!
So I couldn't tell what I was trying to look up how this one is hopped, so we could look at what it is different. But I didn't see.
I don't think they have distinctions on there.
Okay, good because that's what it appeared to me.
Mm-hmm.
It just says the Archangel series is a three beer series that shows respect to three archangels, Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael, all made with the same base beer but hopped differently.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we have like the Trinidine Brewery. St. Francis de Sales. I don't know, logo in our studio, which is awesome. Yeah, so you can tell that my ears kind of went up a little bit. I know you can't with my headphones.
Yeah, you got a nice haircut. Bro.
Got a nice haircut. So I was at the barber this week, and I was in the zone of thinking about work. You know, like, I don't have to think about, like, what's happening with my haircut. Like, it gives me opportunity. I can't check my phone. It gives me, like, just a 20-minute just think about, like, decompress and think about, like, what's happening at work. So I was, like, deep into thought of work. Like, what was happening for the NEC, actually. Like, and what we were going to be doing in the National Eucharistic Congress, because Exodus 90 is a sponsor, and, like, there's a lot of things that are happening. And so I was, like, just deep in thought. And the barber, like, went right by my sideburn, and all of a sudden I hear this bzzz, like, and you know, you can tell, like, that
just didn't seem
too
right.
Close.
Yeah.
And then she looked and she realized that she thought she had the guard on, did not have the guard on, and totally hit my sideburn, basically scalping it. Which is like, the timing was funny because, you know, I had a talk that weekend at a conference. I had my great uncle who passed away. We were gonna go to his funeral and like see all this the family members, you know. And there's just a lot of things happening that weekend. And I was like, man, okay, this is a good opportunity for humility. And like, she started tearing up. Sad, like,
yeah,
and like just apologetic, like, what else can you do? You can't do anything. I'm so sorry. And I realized at that moment I had the opportunity to just
demolish her.
You could just crush her.
You had the opportunity
just to crush, like, yeah, just to like probably make her go home
right
that day,
or
I could I've been in that position before in a service industry, you know, waiting tables or something like that. Something happens, yeah, and you just mess up and you feel terrible about it. It ruins their experience and there's just nothing you can do about it.
Rabbit hole. One time, waiting tables.
Yeah.
Carrying drinks to a table.
Yeah.
Like, I've got like 3 or 4 Dr. Peppers on this tray. And I take one and I'm setting it down. And as I do, the tray leans forward a little bit and they all tip over, staying on the tray. Like, they tipped over, stayed on the tray, but they all went pouring out into a woman's purse, filled up her purse with Dr. Pepper. It was like float, like completely full of Dr. Pepper. And her camera was in there, and it was terrible. And I was like this woman. Yeah. I am so sorry. And it just, and she did not scream at me, even though
she probably,
I would have totally understood it if she did.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, and so I just like, it was a grace-filled moment because I just realized, like, hey, there's nothing you can do about it. It's not a big deal. Out of anybody you did it to, like, I don't look at myself. I don't, man, I'm married already.
Yeah, you're like, already married.
Yeah,
who cares what your hair looks like?
Right. And so I just told her, like, hey, don't worry about it at all. It's a great, you know, great opportunity for humility. She was like, you don't have to pay for the haircut. I was like, nope, I'm going to pay for the haircut. Like, no problem. Mm-hmm. And so we just kind of did a little a fade up.
Kind of, yeah, it's high, it's tight, a high and tight.
High and tight, kind of almost military style.
It's high and tight.
It is. It is. But it gave me the opportunity to talk to her about, like, how things happen in your life and you just can't control them sometimes, and how you still have to look at for good, like, things of the good.
Yeah.
And then she like opened up to me, and turns out, you know, she'd been really struggling, like, in relationship. Anyway, it gave me an opportunity to not witness to her, but, like, just
be
impact her life.
Be a moment of charity.
Yeah. And I was really grateful. I, like, left in gratitude, looking like an idiot, but in gratitude.
It's not that bad. She, like, it is really not that bad.
Well, anyway.
When I saw you, I said, whoa, you got a haircut. But I didn't think, like, oh, bro.
Well, that's good. It's been a couple days, too.
What did you do?
The first day, it was like, that is. That is.
Stay inside today.
Yeah. Actually, I need to get outside because this is so white. The side of my head is so white.
That is the truth. Like, when I shave my beard off, like, if I let it grow out, I'm letting it grow out right now. But when I have a tradition, whenever Lady Pamela is pregnant, I let my beard grow.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the baby's born, I go clean shaven.
Yeah, because you're growing it out right now.
Yeah. And, but like, you're just, I think there's something about, like, you're just, your lip hasn't seen the sun because it's been so blocked out from the beard. It just is like white.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't look like, because the rest of your cheek has like some color and then it's just like white.
White, yeah.
And it just looks weird, yeah, right? You can always tell if someone has just shaved their beard.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So, also, we're going to be moving studios soon.
We are.
And so, like, if you've been thinking about supporting us on Patreon,
we could really use some support.
Like, now is the time to really jump on board. Not only because we're giving away some really cool things, including our Glencairn glasses, and we have reading guides and things like that for a lot of Pieper things that are coming out, Joseph Pieper books that are coming out. Not the books that are coming out, but the guides for the books that are coming out.
Yeah.
And obviously our Catholic Mantra campout's coming up here pretty soon. You get to go to that for free. Anyway, But yeah, so we're going to be moving studios here relatively soon.
For the last 9 years?
Yeah. 8 years.
However long, Adam has been kind enough to...
Lady Haley.
You're right. Lady Haley has been kind enough to allow us to paint one of your bedrooms black.
Limousine black.
Like black.
Yeah.
And, I mean, if you're on the YouTube video, observe the wall.
Right.
Behind. Yeah. It is black. Right. Now, so you're moving.
Yes.
And that's why. And you've been, so we've been parked up here rent-free for years now.
Mm-hmm.
So this, obviously whoever buys this house probably won't let us keep coming.
Right.
Back.
I don't think so.
So we're going to have to figure something out. So, yeah.
We're throwing around some ideas.
Whatever it's going to be, it's going to cost money. And so if you could support us,
that would be great.
This is the time. Also, please pray for us that we are wise and prudent in,
and we decide like
in the
out,
choices
like
we make,
what we need to do.
Yeah.
So yeah, that'll be interesting. So yeah, the family and I we've purchased some land.
Congratulations, by the way. I'm really excited for you.
Yeah, it's a excited like time.
Everybody's homesteading now. It's the cool thing to do.
Yeah, we bought 10 acres, two ponds.
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome.
You're just really trying to one-up me.
I have to.
Yeah. I mean, you did. You did. Oh, you have 5 acres and one pond? Well, I have 10 acres and two ponds. So nanny, nanny, boo-boo.
So anyway, pray for us. Pray for the Minahan family, if you would, please. We'll be right back. After the penitential season of Lent, it's time to celebrate. Easter is the most important season of the church's liturgical calendar, but we often don't know how to celebrate it. We can rediscover Easter's festivities by extending it through the entire season. It's a full 50 days. I don't know about you guys, but normally the Minahans wake up Easter Sunday to find candy in the Easter baskets. We go to Mass. We maybe have a family dinner, but then it seems like everything goes back to normal the next day. But Easter is the greatest celebration of the Christian year. And with the octave of solemnities and a season of 50 days lasting longer than Lent, we should really be intentional about how we celebrate this. That's why I want to invite you to Easter 50 by Exodus 90. Go to exodus90.com and download the app. Easter 50 will help you take advantage of the entire Easter season as a time of festivity. Now we have the right occasion to celebrate and a community to celebrate it with our family and our fraternity that we've been establishing for over the 90 days. And all we need to do in addition is plan some times to feast and celebrate together. So if you are curious on how to do that, go to exodus90.com, download the app, and join us for Easter 50 as we are sons of the resurrection.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles. Here with Adam Minahan. We're drinking a little bit of Chainsaw Brewing, the Archangel series of IPAs. What do you think of the St. Raphael so
delicious
far? I think it is. It's like not very... I don't like get a lot of hops. So it's a lot of people think of IPAs, they think of like something like an all-day IPA. You know, it's like real pine coney and like almost like bitter, right? This is not that way. This is kind of more of a like a malty... mellow. It's obviously an IPA. The hops, you can taste them, right? So it's not like, oh, there's no hops in here at all. But when you just like put them in the category of IPAs,
yeah,
this is a much more mellow hop.
It's very, very good.
Yeah, I think it's fantastic. Do you agree or disagree?
I don't know if I agree with you.
I'm worried I might be wrong based on the furrowed brow I'm staring at when I say these things.
Yeah, I'm not sure I agree, but it is delicious.
But it's not the... You know what I'm saying about it? It's not like the pine coney... You think it is? I'm still getting furrowedness. That was more of a furrowed lip, but...
It's a very good beer.
Look, pick a... Would you take a stand at it?
I don't think you're right.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
That's all I wanted. Just tell me I'm wrong. Now we can move on.
Okay.
It's the hoppiest beer I've ever had in my
Oh, man. So last week we talked about Mary, which was an awesome, you know, like something we don't do enough. And, you know, mea culpa, mea culpa, mea maxima culpa.
We're doing the same thing today, which is great because today's the feast of Our Lady of Fatima.
Oh, yes.
As we sit here and record.
Yeah, yeah.
So it is a Marian feast day. I mean, like, Fatima is, of all the Marian apparitions, Fatima is like, and Lourdes, but like, it's like the gold standard of like.
Knock is pretty.
Yeah, well, Knock is good. You know, like, but the thing is about Fatima, like, is like there was thousands of people there. And yeah, St. John. Dude, I love that about Knock, that it has the Holy Family, you know, like there's apparition of Mary and Joseph and Jesus and St. John, because St. John was like adopted into the Holy Family.
At the crucifixion.
When Jesus is on the cross, behold your son.
Right.
Which people don't think about, and I didn't really think about until we went there, and it's like, oh, you're right! Like, that's awesome. So anyway, that is cool. That's a very knockish. It's knocky. Knockonian. You know, it's like it only happens at Knock. As far as apparitions go.
As far as we
know. It's true. I mean, it's true all the time. Yeah, that's all right. But so, like Fatima, all these people, mass witness.
Sun,
you know,
dancing around. Yeah,
exactly, like huge miracles. Like,
what the heck was that?
You know, it was all predicted in advance. So it's just, Our Lady of Fatima is awesome.
Absolutely.
She's really, really great.
Yep.
So happy to be talking about more of the mysteries of the Rosary today. And we're going to be doing this through the month of May.
Okay.
Where we're going to be...
You
suggested it, and so I... I'm running with it.
Okay.
I'm formalizing it.
It seems like that we should have done the Sorrowful next.
Well, okay. Yes, you would think that, except I thought we were going to record yesterday on the Feast of the Ascension. And so I thought, well, let's do the Glorious. We can talk about the Ascension. So anyway, Pentecost is still close.
Yeah, it's coming up.
It's this next weekend. Yeah. Okay. So when most people are listening to this, it'll be really close to Pentecost also. So, we're going with the Glorious today.
Okay.
Yeah.
Going to go out of order.
Because really, I thought...
We're bookending
we
it.
Did the Joyful, and then really what you should do is the Luminous.
Okay.
And...
Then the Sorrowful.
And then the Sorrowful, and then the Glorious. I mean, just chronological.
Right.
Right? I don't care. You get to pick next week. You can pick which. You can pick whatever two you want to do. You pick. Dealer's choice.
Okay.
But today, we're going to be doing the Glorious Mysteries. Should we get into it?
I think so.
Okay. Any other housekeeping items?
I don't think so. No.
Okay. So what we're really trying to do today with these Mysteries of the Rosary, I don't want to just talk about the mysteries themselves, because there's all kinds of commentaries. All kinds.
They're way better than what we're going to say.
Yeah. I mean, you can go like the Church Fathers and all kinds of people. Famous saints have written about these things.
Yeah, let me throw something out. So the Linehans, not
the Minahans.
Not the Minahans, but the Linehans here in Tulsa. They just threw a Marian conference here.
I'm so glad you mentioned this. I wanted to come back to that. I wanted to circle back to this.
Yes. So I'm just always a fan and pro the laity taking ownership and saying, like, I'm going to put together something to bring Catholics together. You know, that's why we love the Catholic Comedy Festival with Steve Gurrow.
I have the shirt on
right
now.
Yeah, you have the shirt on. Because like,
St. Philip Neri Comedy Festival. Yeah.
Yep. And, you know, just the different conferences or festivals or, like, things to bring Catholics together and laity to just say, you know what? I want to do this. I'm going to pull the trigger and I'm going to make it happen. I'm not going to wait for, you know, priests or deacons to do it for me. Like, I'm going to get their permission. I'm going to run with it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what they did. They decided that they would do this. And I'll tell you, so, and I spoke at the conference. I'll tell you what, was paid more than I've ever been paid before in my life.
Money-wise?
Nope. Spiritually.
Oh. That's cool too.
they sent me a spiritual bouquet and they said, like, thank you so much for your talk. We offered you 9 Holy Communions, 16 Rosaries, 8 Adoration Hours, 1 Novena to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Like, they listed all this whole litany of basically like just ridiculous things to give like to offer up to me and my for my family. Mm-hmm. I was thinking
and
like
the, and the circumcision of four children.
It was just like, are you kidding me? This is incredible.
That is, I love spiritual bouquets are so awesome. They're such a gift, like a way just to hopefully everybody does them. We like our group of friends does them regularly, especially like
what is a spiritual bouquet?
Good question. So a spiritual bouquet is when it's instead of like giving someone a bouquet of flowers, instead of giving them flowers, you give them prayers, right? And so you would give them something that says, here's, you get a bunch of people to all do it together. And you say at the end, it's not important who said what prayer, but that, you know, okay, between this group of people, and you do it like maybe for someone's birthday, but also maybe if someone is going through like maybe the loss of a parent or, mm-hmm. you know, whatever the thing is, right? Where prayer would be good for them. And so you just, give them a card and maybe you can write it on the card, what it all is. You can get creative with how you give them the flowers, quote unquote. But then it just lists, you know, like, oh, 12 rosaries, just like what you were saying.
Yeah.
You know, 20 receptions of Holy Communion that were all that's for, and then you say what they were for.
When I saw that, like, it's something I don't do very well at all.
Receive communion for something?
Yeah, for a specific thing.
St. Therese was a big fan of doing that.
Yeah, I think it's
a great idea.
Great idea. Yeah. I just don't, typically, like, all I'm doing when I'm praying to receive Holy Communion.
You're being selfish.
I totally am.
You're just thinking about yourself.
I'm actually just saying, Lord, help me to receive this, you know, in a worthy manner.
It's just like, you and Jesus. You don't even think you're part of the body of Christ, do you, Adam?
This is a lack of humility.
I'm ashamed. I'm ashamed of you.
Yeah. You know what? How dare I? I agree.
But what I wanted to say was my daughter, Elizabeth, went to the Marian Conference.
Yes.
She was ecstatic about going.
Yep.
She said, like, because Pamela and I had the gift of, we were in Broken Bow, Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm. Broken Arrow.
Not Broken Arrow. This is Broken Bow, which is like on the other side of the state and really have nothing to do with each other except that you would think that a broken arrow goes with a broken bow. Anyway, we were just on a couple's vacation, no kids, mm-hmm. which is awesome.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
So my kids were with my grandparents, their grandparents at the Marian retreat. Elizabeth was ecstatic. It was my first retreat. Oh, it was so first. If you don't know my daughter, Elizabeth, she's like uber melancholic. So melancholic. Okay, really high highs, the lows. You don't even know the depth of the lowness. Okay, emotional to say the least. And she's only 9. Okay, please pray for me. I could use. In fact, if you looking for an opportunity to say like, what could I do my first spiritual bouquet for? Think of me. But anyway, she was just over the moon about going to this Marian conference and she's like, oh, and Uncle Adam was there and he just gave the best talk. Oh, it was so good.
She did. She actually, I finished and she came up to me and goes, that was the best talk I've ever heard. And like, I was like,
have you heard any before? Yeah.
I don't know, but this is the best one. But hey, it's going to be number one for however long.
You got it, man.
Yeah, I got it right now.
You got it. You're there.
Yeah.
Okay, because if you've ever been number one, you're on the books.
Yeah.
Okay, you're in the Hall of Fame.
That's right.
Okay, you can never be out of the Hall of Fame. Sure.
Babe Ruth was not like, he's still in the Hall of Fame.
He's still there, right? Okay. I mean, other people might come and absolutely just crush your performance, like to where you look like a child. But you are still on the list, right? Like you paved the way. Anyway,
so
congratulations on the best talk ever. She told me what you talked about. I don't remember what she said.
I talked about Mary.
Okay, that you know what that makes sense.
Talked about Mary and the domestic church and like how to pray.
That gosh, doesn't that check out?
Yeah,
so hard. Speaking of the domestic church and Mary.
We're going to talk about this on the other side of the break. Man, it feels good to be number one.
It seems like it is.
You know what? And Mary, when I first walked it, like, Mary came up to me.
My daughter, Mary.
Your daughter, Mary. She came running up to me. Just a big hug. Uncle Adam! And like came in, like me, is like, man, I just feel so good about this.
So good.
Yeah.
Everybody come see how good I am. Do you feel like God is calling you to go on a pilgrimage? Well, for the last 34 years, Select International Tours has been leading pilgrimages to holy sites all over the world.
And you want, when you go on pilgrimages, Dave, you want to make sure you have the great, the best hotels, you're touring with the best guides, and every detail has been addressed.
And that's exactly what you're getting with Select International Tours. So for more information, go to their brand new website, selectinternationaltours.com. They have been a sponsor of the Catholic Man Show for a long time now. Even during the COVID pandemic, they were still sponsoring our show. A lot of other tour companies were really shutting down. These guys were consistent. So go to selectinternationaltours.com to find out more information about all the great pilgrimages they offer all over the world.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. 8 years in the making of this episode is 8 years in the making.
It is.
We're also a radio station. This is why, like, there, you know, there's a lot of people that have been joining us on podcasts for the first time. They're like, why is there breaks all the time? It's kind of weird. I get it. Because, like, now podcasts don't have breaks in the middle. Like, they're long-form talks. Right. I understand this.
The thing is, we haven't actually given out a warning in a long time. But traditionally, our show comes with a warning. And I say traditionally, and I mean, like, you have to go back for a long time. But there is a warning. That the Catholic Man Show involves high levels of manliness. If you or anyone in the listening radius is susceptible to high levels of manliness, be advised. The show may be harmful to your health. The breaks give people like a chance to come up for air. Okay,
yeah.
Because otherwise, I know like probably for you, the listener, like
we've been just talking
you
about.
Can probably handle the manliness, but not everybody can. Right. Okay, and so.
Because the amount of things we've been talking about thus far has just been.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Is it too much for people?
Yeah.
So we have to have breaks so that they can like go,
right?
Okay, before they like have to bear down and endure.
And get ready again.
It's good for them though. It's so good.
Yeah, we're radio. Really good. We're also a radio show. That's the real reason why.
All right. Well, you know, people have different opinions on why.
Yeah. So you have to have breaks.
You know, that's just one reason.
Yeah.
I'm not saying what the reason is. It's just one of the reasons.
Fair enough. So we're talking about Mary. We're talking about the glorious.
So let's talk
mystery.
About the glorious mystery. So okay. We started to get into this. What I really wanted to think about today was how do these mysteries apply to the domestic church? So the virtues that we want to pull out today, they're not necessarily the fruit of the mystery, which is like, you know, each mystery does have a fruit or, you know, something that we should really think about as we meditate. I wanted to kind of depart from that a little bit, just to think about specifically with the domestic church in mind, what can we glean? And this is a lot of these came from the mind of my wife, Lady Pamela. So if there is any brilliance in them, that is why.
That's fair.
So the first one is the resurrection. All of the things about the glorious mysteries is that they kind of all have the same. They all point to the same thing. And that is like our ultimate Jesus. Destiny, the eschatological realities, the basically who we will be in heaven, mm-hmm. And that we're all called to this life with God forever. Okay, so that's just something about them. I also like to call the glorious mysteries the transportation mysteries.
Because there's a lot of ascending,
it's just like
descending,
it's just every like, single one. It's like, all right, it's just this mysterious movement
going up and down. Right, and
Jesus
up.
Is rising from the dead. He's ascending into heaven. The Holy Spirit is coming down,
descending down.
Mary is like going up to heaven. It's like everybody's moving around, but it's right. A very mysterious movement.
Yes.
All right. Did you see that? He moved from there to over there. That's crazy.
But I don't know where.
It's like
is.
A mysterious movement. Anyway. What I was thinking about the resurrection, this is actually, Pamela's what she told me.
Mm-hmm.
She was like talking about how diligent the women were immediately after the Sabbath. The very first thing they do, the second that they're allowed to, is they go to the tomb to do their duty in completing the burial of their Lord and Master.
Mm.
And the diligence with which they loved him. Right. They did. They waited not a second to do what was required of them.
Hmm. Yeah.
And I really, that really, I honestly, I had never even thought about that. To me, when I think about the resurrection, I just, like when I meditate on this, when I pray the rosary, I'm sitting here thinking about the, like the fact, the miraculous fact about Jesus rising from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of, I just don't often get beyond that. And so when I asked her about it and she was telling me like, well, what it means to her. And it's like, I really appreciated that.
Yeah, I think that this is something that I've been thinking about recently because I've been, you know, we recently had an episode on magnanimity, you know, talking about like 33 ways to be magnanimous.
Yeah.
You know, and so I've been thinking about magnanimity a lot. And I think there's so much of a relationship, a two-sided coin of diligence and magnanimity.
Because, wow, you know what? I think you're right.
And I'm not
That's
sure
true.
If it's
That's
a,
true.
I don't know if it's a sub virtue or not, but like there's something, you know, obviously magnanimity, the greatness of the stirring of your soul to do great things, right? You know, the desire mm-hmm. to do great things for Christ.
But great things never happen unless you're diligent and small, to, like, you know, okay, if you want to build a company, mm-hmm. you know, like Jeff Bezos built Amazon, right? So this like great empire, mm-hmm. okay? And maybe you're going to say, you might think Amazon's evil, but the point, that's not the point I'm trying to make. You know, in order to do that great thing, think about all the little things the entrepreneur or the empire builder has to do. So many
and the
diligent,
small, of carrying
diligent
out,
tasks.
Yeah, carrying out the things to see to the end.
Right.
Right, and so like, you can, it goes back to, you can have so many great ideas. Right, I wake up every morning and have four ideas before I actually have a cup of coffee of like different things of which I'd be like, oh man, I wish we could do this for the show. We could do this for the X's 90. We could, you know, I have all these different ideas that just flood my mind when I wake up. Most of them don't manifest because I'm not diligent in those ideas, like seeing them through.
Yeah.
The Lord gives us so many graces to do great things and we can start. I mean, how many times do you start a novena and never finish? How many times do you, decide to, I'm going to do this moving forward, mm-hmm. and then never see it through, never yeah. see it in? This is the beauty of the diligence, the virtue of diligence, right? It's like the women after the Lord has passed, you know, and he's laid in the tomb. They're like, they could have easily said, like, man, how terrible was that?
Right, and they could have. I think it'd be easy to justify. Look, hey, he's already sealed.
Right,
like let's have breakfast but first, or let's you know let's mourn, or you know I don't know. Yeah, they were immediate as soon as the Sabbath is over. Here they are going.
Yeah,
there's a book that I read to the kids. It was called "The Princess and the Goblin" by an author named George MacDonald. He's a Catholic author, and I think he and like Tolkien said that. The Princess and the Goblin was one of his inspirations for writing The Lord of the Rings. I believe that is true. Anyway, one of the things he writes, he just puts in the mouths of one of his characters, is that he who is diligent will soon be cheerful.
Hmm.
Which is a quote I have thought a lot about since I read that. It really struck me. The profound truth about he who is diligent will soon be cheerful. And if you just think about your own days, the days that you have where you're like a busy day, wow, I was like, boom, boom, I didn't have any time to stop. Those days go by so fast, and at the end of the day, you feel accomplished. You are tired
mm-hmm.
and worn out, but you don't regret anything. You don't regret having worked hard,
mm-hmm.
right? And you appreciate those days. The days where you're kind of, where you like maybe have a slow day at work, you're kind of sitting around, like those days seem to drag on and on. And at the end of the day, they don't leave you, you don't have that like satisfied feeling about really appreciating the day and having, you know, like lived up to it. You know what I mean?
Barely. That's just not my personality, but.
Well, I used to have a job when I worked in the hospital. I used to work in the hospital in high school.
Weird.
I used to work in the OR, and so that was the kind of job where it wasn't up to us when we did stuff. Like sometimes there were no surgeries happening.
Right.
And so you're just sitting around waiting for something to do. Those days, they went slow, right?
Yeah, sure, sure, sure.
Where other the opposite, when it's like crazy busy all the time, it felt like boom, the day was over. The other thing I just thought about this is like how they were seeking for Christ. And just like, do we do that in our domestic church? Do we, as we're going about being diligent, I think diligence and having this attitude of seeking for Christ, they're just hand in hand with each other. Because I think that we can be diligent in our pursuing Him. This is like the little way. This really reminds me of the little way, how, you're doing the dishes. Well, are you doing them for Him? You know, whatever it is that you're doing. This is something I'm absolutely terrible at doing because I just am so absent-minded that as I go about my day, I don't know, I'm just doing stuff, you know, and I forget to make them intentional acts of service. And I wish I was better at it. And I would give $1 million if I had $1 million to be better at it. But still, it's something that we need to, you know, be striving for and pursuing the constant presence and seeking Him in all things, in the trials, just like that awareness of His presence in the good and the bad throughout the day.
What are the things that help you bring awareness of Christ throughout the day?
Well, if I have tangible things, which I try to do, you know, things like a crucifix on my desk, if I can have habits or routines, like praying the Angelus through, you know, midday, the practice of doing examination of conscience, those things are good ways of consistently bringing me back. But still, I would like to be better at it.
Sure.
Yeah. Do you have any?
Yeah, that was good. I was just curious on what your thoughts were.
So the next is the Ascension. We just had the Feast of the Ascension this last Sunday.
Like Thursday, but it got moved to Sunday.
Yeah, I know. You know what I like to do? I celebrate both. It's like, because you know what? I'm celebrating on Thursday with the Universal Church. Like, this is because this is really it. So, like, I'll party with you guys, right? And then on Sunday, it's like, yeah, again. Woo!
Run it back.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yes, I'm still ready. But the Ascension, like, I think a lot of people don't. They just don't appreciate the importance of the Ascension in the life of Christ, in His like salvific mission on earth. So let's talk about that for a little bit.
Dude, I know for a fact you don't party.
I'm the party guy. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles here with Adam Minahan. We're going through the glorious mysteries today, and how do they relate to the domestic church? We just got to the Ascension.
So you're
the second one.
36.
Here we are.
36 minutes in, and we are now number two.
Catholic Man Show form. Here we are at the end of the show. Just getting started on the topic. But the Ascension really is an essential element. It wasn't just like Jesus's commute from earth to heaven. Like, oh, all right. It's not like him going like, all right, guys, so I'm done. See ya. But there were essential, very, very important spiritual truths. One of my favorite parallels here is the story between the prophet Elisha and Elijah. Elisha was this great, great prophet, and Elijah was his student. And Elijah asked him at the end of Elisha's life, give me a double portion. You know, Elisha knows I'm about to depart. What would you like? And Elijah says, give me a double portion of your spirit. And Elisha says, if you see me ascending into heaven, it will be granted. And then what happens? But, you know, the chariot of fire comes. He's ascended into heaven, right? So Elisha is one of the few people, according to the Bible, who was taken bodily into heaven. And so then after that, Elijah does get a double prophet and goes on to do twice as many miracles as Elisha. So here we have Jesus paralleling the story incredibly. And it's the same, where he's telling you, if I don't ascend, then I can't send the advocate. Mm-hmm. Okay. But if I do, it will be better. And you will go on to do these miracles and more. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. It's essentially this, it's the same story where he is going to ascend and then he will send the paraclete, the Holy Spirit. But what the ascension really does is that it proves that our humanity is now like divinized, or like, you know, that we will now partake in that divine life, because Christ took, he didn't take his human, he didn't just like, oh, take human nature to heaven. Christ became, he's not a human person, he's a divine person, but he took on our humanity. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so bodily, he ascended as a man into heaven, right? And that means that that too is our destiny. You know, where he goes, we will follow. So that's just about the mystery in general. I just wanted to cover that because it's just not something I don't think people really have thought much about, or it's just a kind of an area of catechesis that I think is generally skipped over in our faith. But what I think about when I think about the ascension is the idea of stewardship, because Christ is essentially giving us all of these gifts and calling us to a mission at the ascension, and calling us to, you know, if he is the king of heaven, the king, what happens when the king leaves? Well, he appoints a steward. And so, like, literally, this is stewardship, right? Like, of his church, that now it's our job to make sure that we're doing well. And stewardship is essential. I mean, this is like one of the primary virtues for the domestic church. Because what are we doing? Okay, if we're raising families, we have a wife, we have a house, property, whatever. The way I like to think about these things is that, well, I mean, I didn't make the land. I didn't create it. Even my children, I'm a co-creator of my children, but obviously I didn't, like, by my own power, magnificent power, like flex really hard and like create life. God created them, right? And he has given them to me. And so really, I am the steward of my children. I'm the steward of all the gifts. I'm the steward of my talents. I didn't even create my own talent. God gave it to me. And so it's the domestic church, like really what we're doing is stewarding gifts. Hmm. That's like the big project of the domestic church, is being a steward. And really, it goes just beyond the domestic church, because I think that stewardship is the key to humility. Because there's a lot of people out there who, they're, you know, like people who are taking their faith seriously. They want to. Humility is a big virtue, right, for holiness. And they want to get it right. And so I think sometimes people have the tendency to say, okay, well, I don't want to like put myself out there. I don't want to show off, or I don't want to be the center of attention. And so they refrain and try to stay in the background, okay? That's better than like trying to be a show off. But that's actually not what we're called to do. What we're called to is stewardship, okay? If you have been given these talents, then you need to be a steward of them. You're not here to show off and make yourself look good, but you will be faulted at your judgment for not using your talents, right? So stewardship is the key to bridging that gap between false humility and like not doing anything, you know, like, and being a show off. So it's like, okay, if we take the attitude of stewardship, where I'm just governing these gifts in order to make a return to the Lord, mm-hmm. then that helps us have the right attitude when we use our talents, whatever they are. That way, maybe we can be magnanimous, do things that maybe do put us in a public sphere, but we're not doing it simply to get accolades, right? We're doing it because this is a gift and I must use it. I'm not going to bury it in the sand.
What would you say to a guy who says, like, I'm not sure what my talents are?
Well, then I'd say, well, what are you good at? Those are your talents. I mean, everybody's good at things. And then if someone says, I'm not all that good at anything, I'd say, well, what do you enjoy? Right, because whatever the things that you enjoy, probably you enjoy them because you do have a proclivity, you know, a natural talent or whatever. That's what I'd say. The other thing about the Ascension is that I think it keeps us vocation-centered, which is essential in discernment. As we go about discerning things in our lives, one of the easiest litmus tests for what is God's will for me is, what's your vocation? And what does your vocation say one ought to be doing, right? Oh, should I, you know, whatever, fill in the blank. Discernment is a difficult subject. It's difficult to do sometimes.
Yeah.
But keeping our vocation in mind, I think, helps frame that thought process and that choice, and can often be a very, very good guiding principle when we're analyzing two things.
Discernment's very interesting to talk about, because I think a lot of guys get stuck in a discernment circle, you know, where it's like, I'm not sure what to do.
Yeah.
So I'm going to pray about it. And then I get a like hunch, and it's like, well, maybe this is right, maybe it's not. And then like they keep like, well, you just continue discerning yourself into oblivion, basically.
Yeah.
especially when
it's between two goods. That's when discernment is really a challenge. When this is good and this is good, and I don't, it's not like, oh, yeah. that's a really tough thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's where friendship also really helps.
Friendship really helps. And then, you know, St. Joan of Arc, you say, like, act and God will act.
Yeah.
So this is the importance of prayer life, right?
So, like, God helps those who help themselves, kind of.
Yeah, I mean, like, but it's not necessarily that. It's more, I think, of that if you have a prayer life and you have this true relationship with Christ, where it's an intimate relationship, where you feel like that I'm like with Him, I'm talking to Him, I have a relationship with Him, my will is continually growing closer and closer to His will, that when I act, I feel confident in acting because I feel like this is what God wants me to do.
Yeah.
Now, sometimes that's not true. Sometimes you get blinded and you know, like maybe your own disposition like kind of like blinds you. But when you have that habit of always going back and reflecting and giving an examination of conscience and understanding like, Lord, what do you want of me? That's when He reveals things to you, because you take time to be with Him and to have a relationship with Him to the point where you now understand, okay, like this, I'm going to move forward.
Yeah.
So I think it's important to like, I think discernment in today's world like is just misunderstood drastically.
I think you're right. Yeah.
And like, because like there's guys who, out there probably who are thinking like, should I go to the seminary? Should I, you know, should I get married? Should I, you know, should we have kids right now? Should we not? It's like, go do like, like have a good prayer life and know that the Lord is with you and desires the best for you. And like through your prayer life, go and act.
I totally think that. And I think that very often in life, God does present two goods to us. Mm-hmm. And it's not a test. I think we tend to think like, oh, I have to get it right. And God is just giving us a choice. He's just letting us choose. And especially, like I said, when you're choosing between two goods, which really is often the hardest choice, is, you know, like if we take it to prayer and like, and make a, and just,
if
hey,
you're diligent, and, if you're diligent and,
yeah, and make, and whatever you choose, He will bless you in. I mean, if we're talking, I'm not talking about like, oh, this is a good choice and a bad choice, you know.
Clearly.
Right. But I think I've gotten hung up on this before, and I've seen other people get hung up on this before, where it's like, oh, you know, what should I do? And blah, blah, blah. And they let themselves get all like wrapped up about it.
Wrapped around like, the axle.
Yeah. And it's like, you just need to choose. And then, and then continue to pray about it. If it immediately goes bad, all right, well, back out and choose the other one.
The door is closed.
Right.
Move on.
Yeah.
We're out of time on Catholic Radio. Go check us out on the podcast, CatholicMantra.com. We're going to continue the last three glorious mysteries for the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Cheers to Jesus.
48 minutes, and we got through two.
We had a lot of stories today.
I know. That's partly my fault.
Well, yeah, but we had stories.
I mean, I was just like the best, giving the best talk.
You were the best speaker ever.
Yeah.
Like better than Jesus.
She didn't say that.
According to my daughter, Elizabeth. But she never heard him speak. She's never even seen The Chosen. So.
Yeah, neither have I.
You can't really like hold her up to that. Anyway, let's keep going. The Descent of the Holy Spirit, a.k.a. Pentecost. Also, if there's anything else other than what I wrote down on this list, feel free to throw it in.
Dude, if I did it, we'd be here for another 3 hours.
It'd be 2 hours, but you know.
I'm not going to do that.
Fantastic 2 hours. What I was thinking about is order.
For the descent?
Yeah. Yeah, for the descent of the Holy Spirit. Because the disciples, you know, they're here in the upper room. And essentially, what they were struggling with, their big problem was a disorder of values, a disorder of goods. And that this is a natural problem, okay? We live in a fallen world. A fallen world is inherently disordered. Christ came to restore order into the lives of his creatures, right? And he does that by sending the Holy Spirit, okay? Essentially, the apostles that were in this upper room locked away, they were valuing their own lives above the gospel, which is disordered. Their own lives are not more important, which eventually they all realized, and everyone except for John gave their life willingly for the sake of the gospel, right? But it wasn't until the Holy Spirit came and brought that clarity to them. And this is just, I think, a good anecdote to show what can happen and the just total, how you can get totally arrested and just halt and just sit in a bad place when you have disorder in the home. Order, when things are ordered.
Order begets order.
Order, it does. It begets order. I wrote down on here that order leads to peace. Because that peace actually is defined as the tranquility of order, which is not just like having order, but it's like when order is ascending into like, higher levels.
Like flourishing.
Yes, exactly. And then I wrote, and peace leads to trust. Mm-hmm. Okay? Peace doesn't actually beget trust, but peace, I think, creates an environment where trust can be developed, right? And so as we have order in our homes, we'll have peace. And then I think we have a space where we can start to realize and see and begin to trust the Lord and just have that attitude of really dependence where you start to see that we are dependent on Him and you just begin to trust Him for everything. Mm-hmm. But if you don't have order, you won't be able to have the sight to see that. Because what you will see is the chaos in front of you, mm-hmm. right? And I am not talking about spiritual things. This applies to spiritual things, but I'm talking about your house, okay? You need to have things picked up, like the cleanliness is next to godliness. I know it's not in the Bible, but there is something to it, right? That having an ordered home.
I can't believe you said that. That's fine, though.
Well, it's not the first time you have not been able to believe I've said what I've said. But really, having just things in order and having the habit of order. This is really what it comes down to.
Right.
It's not like, oh, hey, your floor is messy. You know, your whole house is in disarray. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about having the habit of creating order.
Mm-hmm.
And this kind of comes back to our talk on diligence again, right? Are you the kind of person who says, oh, whatever, I'll do it tomorrow, you know, and you wake up and the kitchen's a mess, the house is a mess, right? Instead of being diligent and saying, no, I'm going to get this done now. There's something else I wanted to do, but I recognize for the sake of the household and for the order that I have to let that go so I can.
Well, this is how you grow in charity, right? This is like, if you want to love, if you want to love better, if you want to love more intensely, which we all desperately want to,
mm-hmm.
this is, it's the denial of self, the things that you don't want to do for the greater good of your community, namely the society of your home, you know, this the domestic church itself. It's the, like, yes, I don't, you're right, I don't want to do the dishes. Like, I have no desire to do the dishes.
I never want to do the dishes.
However, like, I know and they need to be done. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to die to self in this moment and do them for the greater good, for a greater good of our family. And so that way, there's more order within the home.
Right. This is especially important for men because our job, as we've talked about on episodes before, as fathers, is to provide, protect, and establish. Mm-hmm. If you are not creating order and regulating the order, mm-hmm. then your ability to establish it will be diminished. Mm-hmm. Because the thing you, as a father, you are establishing your children in something. And it is the thing that you do. Whatever it is, the way that you live, that is how you are establishing your children. So if you are living an orderly life, then you are establishing them in the ways and habits of order, which mm-hmm. is a gift. And if you're not, then you are establishing them without those habits, without the virtue of order. So mm-hmm. The descent of the Holy Spirit.
And when it's ordered, then you can evangelize.
That is correct. Yeah. Order, I think, is also one of the, like, kind of the hacks to life, is that if things are ordered, they will succeed.
Right. This is why Jordan Peterson is so popular and things like that, because yeah. he talks about order all the time. But, like,
that's why making your bed, you know, he right. makes that point. That's why it's important.
Right.
Which, but in reality, making your bed isn't important, but being ordered is being important. And if you have to make your bed to be ordered,
right.
then do it.
Yeah. And this is what the descent of the Holy Spirit is all about, so that we can go and proclaim the gospel, right? Like, and you can't do that if you're... You can't bring order to the society if your domestic church and your interior life is disordered, mm-hmm. right? So it's a micro to macro kind of thing, right? Like, you have to have your interior life ordered so that way your family life can be ordered,
correct?
So that your community can be ordered, so that the society can be ordered. Yeah, and this is why
that's a good point.
Society is just in chaos right now because we don't have family life in order.
So the assumption, Mary being assumed into heaven. The actual fruit of this mystery is the grace of happy death. Mm-hmm. And so I did want to talk about legacies here.
I saw this on here. Can I have a telephone story?
Yeah, go ahead.
So the Minahans, Irish family.
Your family.
My family.
Not the Linehans that Not we talked about earlier.
The
right?
Minahans, Irish family. There's a story that goes that in Cork, Ireland, County Cork, that there was a group of Minahans that were drinking.
Hmm. They're Irish?
Heavily in moderation.
Yeah.
And one of the Minahans walked home and was walking home and, like, had this revelation of, like, that he's going to die someday, you know, kind of like had probably like come to Jesus meet, you know, moment, you know,
so as we realized I need home. To go back to the bar.
Yeah. And he realized that he's very poor, and he was very concerned that no one was going to even remember him. Mm. And, like, what was he going, like, what is my tombstone going to say? And so that night he built a form and poured concrete.
Probably still drunk.
And yes. And made a tombstone for himself, in which is still used today. Like,
it,
like,
and they actually used it.
Yes.
What does it say?
Minahan. Date of his birth. And then, like, dash, there's a blank. God love me.
All right. You know what? You could say a lot worse than that. Like,
and you know what? I have a picture of it.
If a guy came up with that while he was drunk, that's pretty good. You know, because it's more important to be loved than to love.
Right.
Because you cannot give what you don't have.
Right.
So this is actually like the essential thing about humanity, is to recognize and to accept the love of God.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know what? He did
pretty good.
He got a lot right.
Right.
Okay?
And I have a picture of it. It's pretty cool.
Does the tombstone look bad?
It's terrible.
Okay.
It's terrible.
I feel like I have to make a tombstone when I get home. Yeah. It's like, this is not going to be a nice-looking tombstone.
It looked like that he poured the concrete, and it looked like he took a stick and wrote Minahan. Like, it was...
Because he probably did.
He probably did, yeah. I mean, it was rough. But, you know, that's something that I think that is a good exercise to take, you know, is to think about, like, what is going to be on your tombstone. In fact, you know, the guy who invented the atom bomb, like, you know, they thought he died. And they wrote an obituary about him.
No, it wasn't the atom bomb. It was the dynamite.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right. The dynamite. Right. Yeah, the dynamite. And they wrote his obituary.
Right.
And then he woke up the next day and read it and was completely, like, flabbergasted and, like, almost offended.
It was,
like,
his brother who died.
Right.
Yeah.
And it changed his life.
Yeah, because in the papers they wrote, like, oh, so-and-so died. He's the inventor of dynamite. He's responsible for the death of thousands of people, blah, 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 blah. And he's like, what? This is how I'm going to be remembered?
Right.
I'm going to better change it. So he, what's his name? He came up with the Peace Award.
Pulitzer. The Nobel Peace Prize.
Nobel was his name. So, yeah, the Nobel Peace Prize.
We'll get there.
Yeah. Nobel invented dynamite. And now, talk about good strategy and good marketing. Nobody knows he invented dynamite. Everybody knows, like, you mean like the peace? The guy who loves peace?
Yeah.
Yeah, that guy. So I also wanted to, like, just think about a little bit when it comes to our legacy. I think that a lot of us pursue a legacy with people who don't matter. Okay, we are concerned about how am I going to be remembered? And when we think about how am I going to be remembered, we're thinking about the people we shouldn't even be concerned about. Like, who cares how this person remembers you? Obviously, like, everybody you meet, you want to, like, you want them to remember Christ, okay? I mean, if we're going to be living saints on earth, then we want to be remembered as, like, that was the holiest person I ever knew. You know, this person exuded charity and love of everyone.
Yeah.
Honestly, that's probably just not going to happen, okay? But there are some times where someone has a bad opinion of you, and you just spend too much time, it's actually vanity. We're too worried about what that person thinks about you, okay? And we shouldn't actually, it's like, well, hey, I don't know why they think that about me, and, like, I will continue to be charitable to them, but I'm not gonna go and, like, have a disordered, like, concern about my reputation with them. So I think that, once again, we're bringing order into this about what is my legacy, who does it actually matter with, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what do I want it to be?
Mm-hmm.
You know, one thing, like, I actually just don't even care. If, like, when I die, I just don't, maybe I'm like, maybe this is a fault in me. I just don't care if anybody remembers me at all. Like, I know people will, but
at least for,
I mean, like, for a generation,
right?
You know, like, probably my grandkids will remember me, but, like, outside of your family, you will quickly be forgotten.
Sure.
But I just don't understand. Like, some people, that's a really, like, frightening thought, and it's just not for me. I really could care less, because I'm like, I want to go to heaven, and I don't care what you guys do. I mean, I'll pray for you, hopefully, if I can. If I get to heaven, yeah.
Then I get to.
I'll totally be doing that.
Yeah.
I don't know what else I'll be doing, but I think it'll be awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, so finally, the coronation of Mary. And
one of my favorites of all the
yes,
mysteries.
I know. I think it might be my favorite. And I don't even know why. But every time I think about Mary being crowned in heaven, it just makes me really happy.
Mm-hmm.
There's something about it that just gives me a lot of joy.
Well, it's the complete, last week we talked about the presentation, right? Of her heart being pierced with sorrow, of knowing of everything mm-hmm. that is going to happen to her son. And then seeing that all come to fruition, and then him leaving, and the pain that, like, imagine, like, you get a glimpse of this amazing goodness, and then it's taken away from you where you don't get it anymore. You've been exposed to it. Your mind knows about it now, mm-hmm. but now it gets taken away from you, and it's not as close to you any longer. And then all you want is to get back to that.
Yeah.
And so to me, like, it's just this beautiful secular seculorum aspect of her life and, like, her mission here, you know, on earth, and then obviously in heaven, of the sorrow, the redemptive suffering that she took on for humanity, for all of us, so that she could be with him in heaven. And what was the reward for doing that? It was crowned queen of heaven and earth. She had noticed, she doesn't care about that. Like, kind of like what you were just saying earlier. You're like, yeah, I don't care if people remember me. Mm-hmm. I just want to be with my Lord.
Right.
And she did that, but because she did it so well here on earth, she was crowned queen heaven and of earth. And
of the angels.
And of the angels, which is like...
Like of all creation.
Of all metaphysical realities.
Yeah. Which is awesome.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Like, to me, it's just like, it gives me hope. It gives me, you know, especially in times of sorrow, especially in times of depression or times of, like, suffering in any way, shape, or form, of knowing, like, listen, Mary did this.
Mm-hmm.
And, like,
she's there now.
If you do it with grace, you know, if you do it, like, in the state of grace, if you do this, like, with him in mind, mm-hmm. the rewards, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard what God has ready for those who love him. Like,
yeah.
Part
of the joy is also sort of like the ascension part two. Mary was not, she did not ascend into heaven. She was assumed, right?
It
was
right.
God's grace pulled her up, which is different from Jesus saying, like, his own power mm-hmm. took him. He went by, you know. But the fact that she is just a human person.
Right.
She's only a creature.
Right.
The gap between Christ and Mary is infinite.
Right.
As awesome as Mary is. So, you know, Christ is ascending into heaven within his humanity. That enough was like, okay, he paved the way and opened the door by ascending that way. But then when Mary is assumed into heaven, it's just like a sort of like when I would party on a Thursday and then again on a Sunday for the ascension. This is sort okay. of like Jesus yeah. and then Mary, boom, boom, boom. Like it, sort of the same, a lot of the same joys that, hey, one of us is up there, right? Except this time with Mary, it's totally, totally one of us, right? But the thing that I was really thinking about was piety, which is a great gift you can give to your children. Hopefully your children have this. And hopefully you talk about it with your children. One of the things that, like, sometimes when one of my kids does something that, you know, they're in trouble for, I will, you know, we'll talk about it. And basically, I want them to know that they need to respect me or, like, have obedience or whatever it is that they're in trouble for, not because I'm so important. It actually, that's not even what I care about. They need to respect me or obey me so that they will learn to obey God. That is it, right? And I'm the one in a position of authority over you, but there is an ultimate authority, okay? And if you don't learn to obey me, if you don't learn to have respect for me as your father, mm-hmm. then you won't learn respect for fatherhood. You won't have respect for God right. as your father, and that is the important thing. It's not because I'm important at all.
If you don't have respect for the small things, you can't.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But also, I just wanted to like have a couple end on a couple of practical notes here. It's also May, so
it's not gonna be May.
It's gonna be May. Yeah, thank you, Justin Timberlake. There's not like a date you have to do this, but have a May crowning. Really great thing to do with your friends, especially for kids. But you know what?
I love it.
It's not even for kids. It's like someday when I'm super old.
This is for me.
I'm going to still be doing it.
This is for Mary, but it's for me as well.
So this last weekend, we were driving through Stigler, Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
Very small parish in Stigler.
I love the people in Stigler, though.
Oh, my gosh. You've been to Stigler?
Yes.
It was... like, I was so impressed. I don't know, there was maybe 40 people there, mm-hmm. but it was mostly families and or families showing up with grandma. I mean, it was just amazing. It was like, what is this? This is like,
parish.
This is, if only everyone did it this way.
Right.
And so at the end of Mass, we processed out to their Mary, and they have a Mary grotto right outside the church. Yep. And
I prayed the Liturgy of the Hours with your brother-in-law there.
Awesome. I knew that this was going to happen, though, because all the children showed up, and there was a bunch of kids in Stigler, Oklahoma. They all had flowers, all holding them all mass. And, you know, honestly, they did a good job of not destroying them. But so we all processed out. The kids all were placing flowers at the feet of Mary or on her head or whatever.
No way Leo would have done that.
Yeah. Well, so have a Mary, crown her, okay? Yeah. Even if it's just you, go out and do it. The other thing I just wanted to end with, sort of like with the idea of Mary as being queen, is we should all make an effort to learn the Marian hymns. There's a Marian hymn that is for each season.
Mm-hmm.
Right now it's the Regina Caeli during the Easter season. Yep. You know, so like that's a good one to learn. Start with two, the Salve Regina and the Regina Caeli. I think those are, there's another one for Advent, which I don't know yet, but hopefully this Advent, I will learn it. So anyway, that's all I got.
I dig. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Cheers to Jesus.